You've talked a lot about what Tyann thinks. More proof of what a loving and attentive father figure you are. But what about what you think?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, let's say you love the Counting Crows, and they break up. And then the fan site, Crow's Nest, says that they're never going to get back together again. And you accept that.
That'd be a tough pill to swallow. I'm a Duritz head through and through.
Right. So you adopt a Counting Crows cover band, and you raise it as your own, and you love her. And when she plays Mr. Jones, it's almost like the real thing. And then the real Crows get back together. You're going to go see them, right?
I'm logging on to Ticketmaster.com right now.
You get it.
TBTL.
Is what we experience real, or is reality a computer simulation constructed by an advanced alien race? For more, our sports reporter, Jim Caputo.
I have a lot of boo-boos, and I know how to dink them.
What I love to think about this is it's a puzzle. And each of every one of us is an integral piece that puts a big picture. And once we're all together, it puts a big picture. And so it lets us to see the big picture. Yeah.
I could really lay him out quickly. With him out of the way, I think we're just going to be 360 spins and slam dunk points.
Rudy, you ready for this?
She's got some real noodle arms this morning. Hi, everybody. Welcome to a Wednesday morning edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
It is our turn.
My name is Luke Burbank. I am your host.
I like turtles.
Coming to you from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill in Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City. Pod Dog is here now.
I'll say, what's up, dog?
I did not have to bribe her to come hang out in the Broadcast Center this morning, so I feel like that represents some amount of progress. It is another just wet, gloomy day in the Northwest. It rained so much and so hard last night here in the Bellingham area. It was just sheets and sheets and sheets of rain. And this morning, I'm staring out in the general direction of what should be Lake Whatcom, but there's just fog and gray and clouds and wetness in the air obscuring that. I'm looking at a fence. And the fence is just, like, so soaked with water, and it's so covered with moss that I'm like, will the sun ever shine again here in the Northwest? I assume it will. I hope it will. The good news is it's wet and dry inside your podcast here for episode 2821 in a collector's series.
Let the fun begin.
We're going to have a fun time here indoors, sharing imaginary radio with all of you. A fun and hopefully not super gross time.
You're a gross person.
Even though I've titled our top story today, How to Train Your Dragon.
I cannot believe he just told that joke.
Ways in which you can teach yourself to go number two at the same time every day. This is an article from Glamour magazine that listener David sent us. And the goal will be to talk about the story without being a gross person today. Because there's some interesting, and I would even venture to say, dazzling details in this article about why it is that we tend to go to the bathroom, go number two at the same time every day, and ways that we can kind of actually get our body to do it when we want it. And also why we don't sometimes have the same schedule or any schedule, really, when we go on vacation. So that will all come up in a non-gross way later on in the program. First, we must say hello to this guy, the longest-running Cobra of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace, and their splendor. We just want him to be normal, and clearly he's not. He's a professional. Look it up. He listened back to yesterday's episode of the show, and his review is in.
It's just too boring and long.
He is Andrew Walsh, and he joins us right now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Luke. Do you have anything big at the top of the show that you wanted to talk about? Because I have
sure,
a story.
I got a couple of...
Okay.
Well, number one, it's National Pie Day.
Oh, okay.
And number two, Richard Dean Anderson, television's MacGyver, turned 69.
Oh, glad he turned 69.
Richard Dean Anderson, who briefly attended St. Cloud State University in St. Cloud, Minnesota, home of the Stewbot.
When you started to say his name, I assumed that maybe he had passed away. So I was really glad to hear that he just celebrated a birthday. That's such a better way to start the show.
Absolutely. Richard Dean Anderson, television's MacGyver, 69 years old. Also splits his time between Los Angeles, California, Vancouver, British Columbia. A lot of moderately famous people up in this part of the world because a lot of them shoot in Canada, in Vancouver, and then I think they just fall in love with the place. And then also northern Minnesota, another place you can find Richard Dean Anderson, television's MacGyver, the original MacGyver. Richard Dean Anderson grew up in Minnesota, grew up in Minneapolis, and he wants nothing to do with the new MacGyver on TV, or New Guyver, as no one calls it. And that was he has been very clear online that he thinks that the new there's I don't even know if it's still on television, but there was a MacGyver reboot for a hot minute, and Richard Dean Anderson was very strongly opposed to it. He did not guest star. He did not want to even validate it, I guess, with an appearance on the show. I don't know what his problem was. I mean, no offense, but it's not like the original MacGyver was the work of Tolstoy, you know? Like, I don't know what he felt was how the new MacGyver was sullying the lineage and the heritage of the original MacGyver, but he was not having it.
Yeah, you'd think he'd get a job on set as like a consulting producer or something like that, get a little payday, show up once or twice, tell the new MacGyver how to toss his hair back. Did MacGyver toss his hair back a lot? I don't know.
I don't think that was really his move. I was into MacGyver
as a kid,
though. Maybe
that's all the new guy does.
Yeah. I was like the sort of – this is extremely up-to-date and relevant content for the listeners. Me talking about a couple television programs from the 80s. But what I loved on the A-Team was when – they always had that progression scene where they would have to build some kind of contraption that was unexpected. And I remember specifically one where they somehow used a washing machine. They converted it into some kind of a blowtorch or Tommy gun. And then, of course, Hannibal would say, I love it when a plan comes together. And with MacGyver, as has been well documented, the way that he would use unusual things to get out of jams. That kind of like obvious go-to that happened in every episode never failed to work on me as a viewer as a kid. I was like, I can't wait until he uses something I wouldn't expect to do something I didn't think was possible.
I didn't get to watch the A-Team. Do you think that there's a discrepancy in my parents' parenting decisions that I was allowed to watch MacGyver but I wasn't allowed to watch A-Team? Or is it true? Was MacGyver, did it land a little bit more softly on young viewers?
I honestly have a theory, but I don't want to say it because it's unfair, and it's unfair, and it would be totally not cool to say about your parents. But I mean, do you think they thought B.A. Baracus was bad news because Mr. T looked so rebellious?
I'm not trying to say they
were racist.
I know, everybody knows what you're saying.
That's why I wanted to measure my words. I really genuinely am not trying to say that. But Mr. T was kind of, there was a lot going on. And I wondered if maybe they, because that's the only thing I can think of that would be even a little bit seemingly controversial about the A-Team.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't remember it being a hard and fast rule. It wasn't like, I mean, Chips was a hard and fast rule. And that was because of racism.
Well, that was all TNA. Yeah, Eric Estrada.
I do think that my parents didn't use the term fresh, but to steal your family's language, right. I think that things like Chips were just, there was too much sexual content, or at least that's what I was led to believe. I've never gone back and watched it.
I don't think they were
filthy.
Wrong. I think that California lifestyle,
yeah.
There was probably, you know, bikini clad people
my
in that show.
God. Can you imagine if I'd seen that? But I do think that, I mean, this is just my perspective of going back to MacGyver versus A-Team, but I could be wrong since I didn't watch that much MacGyver. I'm sorry, A-Team. But A-Team seemed more in the arena of war than MacGyver did. For some reason, I just had the impression that MacGyver is more like kind of action adventure, maybe running somebody down, maybe often like having to, you know, stop a ticking clock that is attached to a bomb, you know, all of that stuff. Whereas for in my head, the A-Team was a lot more about guns and explosions and rockets and stuff. And so I think it has more to do with that. But is that correct?
You're 100% correct.
Okay.
I mean, they escaped from the Los Angeles underground to the Los Angeles underground. They were soldiers of fortune. I have something listed as the A-Team theme. I have a feeling this may not have the voiceover on it, so it might not be useful. Yeah, this is like they got the finest musicians in Guam to record a. Boy, that's terrible. They were soldiers of fortune, and then they were basically framed for something, and they escaped to the Los Angeles underground. No, I'm sorry. They were a crack group of commandos. This is making the listeners crazy. We probably need to just actually play the real thing at some point because okay, here we go. I think this is the real one.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground.
By the way, where were they living in the Los Angeles underground? It never occurred to me because as a kid, I didn't live in Los Angeles. I don't think there's a Los Angeles underground that's hiding soldiers of fortune.
Right, yeah. I don't know. I lived there for a while. I don't remember ever seeing any kind of like intimidating I'm sure I saw some intimidating vehicles, so.
That is 100% written for people that have never been to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Like if you're a kid and you live in the Midwest or the Northwest, you're like, oh, that sounds just like the Los Angeles underground.
Yeah.
That's so
classic.
That's exactly like what goes on.
Yeah.
Classic Los Angeles underground.
For a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
So your sense that it was making you very warlike was 100% right. Like, you're spot on with that. It was, they were much more militarized than MacGyver.
See, and I think that is the difference. Because my mom was very anti-violent movies. You know, I wasn't allowed to play with guns, that type of thing. So I have a feeling that probably played more into it. So it was a little bit edged show, a show with more of an edge than MacGyver.
Yeah. Good for her. I did not, for all of my parents, let me mention that I wasn't allowed to watch any of these shows. To the degree that I saw them, it was either in the Fred Meyer on Lake City Way, where I would go sometimes watch Scooby-Doo in the electronics department on the TVs, or maybe one of my friends' houses. Like, I was always – this is really what set me up to be a sketchy adult. Let me just blame this on my parents if I can. It was that as a child, everything fun, I had to sneak it, you know? And so, like – So I was very used to I could give you pretty detailed descriptions of a variety of shows that were all officially banned in the Burbank household, but I would watch them somehow. And so all of those would have been not okay for me. But I didn't grow up under – my parents were sort of classically like, you can't watch things that are fresh, but if you want to go play Army Men and go hide in the neighborhood with a fake gun and walk around pretend killing people, that's no problemo. Mm. But we can't – we don't want you to see anybody, you know, wearing non-Amish clothing on television because that will corrupt your mind.
Yeah.
I grew up in that very, I think, messed up world of anything sexual or even vaguely sexual was very taboo. But violence, NBD.
Yeah. I had a neighbor, Michael Jansen, not Jackson, although in the 80s. Mm. Some kids would point out that his name was very similar to Michael Jackson. He was allowed to play with guns. When I say next door neighbor, I mean next door neighbor. We shared a driveway. And sometimes I would play with Michael's guns. But one time my mom caught me playing with Michael's cap guns. I don't even think there were caps in it, by the way. And that put an end to that.
Wow. That's, again, it's pretty like, I don't know, sort of progressive of your mom, actually, to hold the line, particularly in Ohio. Like, I can't imagine. You know, I mean, she. It's not like she was living in. You guys were living in Berkeley or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. That's an interesting take, and one that I actually think is a kind of a cool take. Like, I'd be more inclined towards that if I were raising young children at this point. To be like, hey, let's lay off with the. Although, I mean, it's. I'll tell you. I do think there's a certain amount of hardwiring of some of that stuff. Little kids are going to pick up a stick and point at each other and be like, bang, 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 or their friend's cap gun if given the option. But even so, as a parent, I do think there's something to being like, I don't know, just at least trying to say, let's not spend our childhoods pretend killing each other. Like, I just have to think that's probably a good move.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I thought I was in Nam, like hiding out in a hedge waiting for Todd Staley and Donald Whitehouse to walk by so I could ambush them. I'd be like in full camo. Actually, usually the interesting stuff pops up right about break time, which is why we tend to blow through it. Although I don't know if I can officially say this is interesting or not. But a week or two ago, we did the show at your house. And then after that, I had to go run some errands and do some things. And I had a little downtime. In the evening, and so like I went and I walked around Green Lake, which is where I grew up in Seattle, and I ended up going back. I parked my car right at this area of Green Lake where I was really the kind of make focal point of my childhood. This area where the Bathhouse Theater is, I don't know if it's even called that anymore. It's just like this. It like used to be, I think, where people would change before they would go swimming, but now it's kind of a local theater, which is very cool to me. I used to climb on top of that building and smoke cigarettes when I was a kid. And I just had one of these moments. You talked about going back to your, I think, elementary school, mm-hmm. maybe. Or did you drive by your elementary school?
We drove right. Yeah, it's no longer a school. So I didn't go in or anything. It's like some sort of a community center now, but yeah, it's out there in the country in the rural Valley City, Ohio, and so we drove into the old parking lot and drove around and saw the old schoolhouse that was built kind of behind the new schoolhouse. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I was just walking around. I did a couple loops around the lake, and on the second one, instead of sticking to the walking path that's right along the lake, I kind of ventured out into my old neighborhood, and I have a tendency to drive around old neighborhoods of mine anyway. As you know, I once drove you to a tree that I planted in front of an old house of mine, as we call it, the crying tree, because sometimes I would just stare at it and cry. This was like within the last 5 years, just so people know I'm doing fine. Hmm. So I sort of walk around the neighborhood, and it was just like it was dark, and it was for some reason felt kind of quiet, I guess, even though this is a pretty bustling neighborhood. And here's what was – what was interesting, I walked through the alleys that I used to just frequent as a kid. Like, usually if you go visit your old neighborhood, you drive down the street maybe, or you walk down the street. But, like, alleys, those are the – at least the way I grew up, alleys, alleyways were – and these are not – this is not, you know, south side of Chicago or the Bowery in New York. These are not, like – these are not sketchy alleyways. These are, like, just – where people are parking their cars and there are basketball hoops and whatever. But what I realized walking through these alleyways, I hadn't been in these alleys for 35 years mm-hmm. because I would have no reason to go through them. And like there was one that was behind my friend Peter's house that had still a basketball hoop where we used to play basketball. And it was just like – it was really beautiful actually, just kind of walking around and I guess just remembering – my childhood in those areas, but also like some of those alleys were places where we used to play war or G.I. Joe or whatever which for us playing G.I. Joe didn't mean playing with the little figurines or whatever figures. It meant literally embodying G.I. Joe characters and trying to kill each other.
Right.
And yeah. That all came flooding back as I wandered. And then I kind of thought to myself, what's going to happen if somebody comes out of their house and there is a 42-year-old man mm-hmm. wandering in their alley? That's not, you know, that's not going to seem not suspicious. And then what am I going to be like? Yeah, we used to I used to play basketball on that adjustable hoop. We used to lower it so that we could dunk on it and then film it and make videos and play it back in slow motion. Is that not a weird story to share with someone at 6:45 at night in their back alley?
Well, it depends. Were you wearing like a Rambo bandana? And did you – were yes. you carrying an Enertech gun?
My face, full grease paint,
yeah.
Camo. The whole thing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was dude it out.
I think it would fly. I think it would fly. Hey, when we come back, I had a little, I was going to tell you a little story about something that happened to me. I say if we have time. I thought it would be relevant.
Is it Richard Dean Anderson related?
It is not. It is related to something we were talking about the other day, how sometimes we take photos of people maybe to intentionally shame them online later, or at least make them think we're going to online shame them later.
See, yes. I want to talk about this. We didn't get into this yesterday. I found that you and I do the exact opposite.
Exactly. Right. Yes. Well,
so let's get into that after the break, because that's what went through my head yesterday. As you were describing something you almost did, I was like, that's diametrically opposed to what I was doing.
Well, I had a little parking lot encounter yesterday, and if there's one thing that listeners love is anxiety creating parking lot adventures. So,
all right, well, we'll have one of those coming up in a moment. This is TBTL. Stay with us.
Just to leave the folk music behind. Saul and Denny working for a penny, trying to get a fish on the line. In a coffee house, Sebastian sat, and after every number, they passed the hat.
McGuinn and McGuire's just a getting higher in L.A.
This is related to alleys?
Well, it's called Creek Alley, but really, it's obviously a bunch of hippie stuff.
I love this song, by the way, but I would have thought the name of this song is Everybody's Getting Fat Except Mama Cat.
Yeah.
Or alternately, Nobody's Getting Fat Except Mama Cat.
Right.
Or McGuinn and McGuire Keep Getting Higher.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? In the Los Angeles Underground, you know where that's at.
You know where that's at. They were a part of it. That is something that they never talk about in the A-Team, but that the Mamas and the Papas also part of the L.A. Underground, and it made for some really interesting dinner conversations.
I forget his name, Mackenzie Phillips' father, the papa from the Mamas and Papas. The problem was he insisted on wearing like a tall fur hat at all times, mm-hmm. and it just kept blowing their cover. They'd be like, oh, yeah, we know who that is. He's the guy in the tall fur hat. What was that guy's name?
I'm not sure. I'm actually not even quite catching the reference. Did the Mamas and Papas guy wear a tall fur hat, or is this an A-Team reference?
Yeah, always. Well, not always. Maybe on the cover of a record. Did I just like? We have so many important parking lot stories mm-hmm. to hear. I feel like the guy. I feel like he usually had some kind of a hat on.
Is it John Phillips?
John Phillips. John Phillips. Maybe it was just one picture I saw.
I don't even know what the Mamas and Papas really look like. I mean, I have like one album of theirs, I think. So I got just a general vibe of them. But because I had not watched A-Team, I thought you were making an A-Team reference.
No, I'll send you a picture. There was like some famous photo shoot for them where he's wearing this kind of like silly looking, I don't know, like fur cap. And I also think he was actually wore it in a lot of pictures, but I think it was because he was losing his hair. And so he probably went through a phase of really liking wearing a hat because maybe he thought it obscured that or something. Anyway, let us not get caught up and digress down that road. Let us digress down the road of your recent parking lot run-in. What happened to you?
So we were talking yesterday, just to kind of reset what we alluded to before the break, how sometimes we see somebody doing something in public that we consider to be rude or boorish or something. And I am compelled.
Can you say
boorish? I hate
boorish.
Saying that word, but sometimes I that is a word that I really, really hate that I use a lot. I've got a few of them. So that's why I probably swallowed boorish. And sometimes I am tempted to make it look like I'm taking a photo of somebody as if I am publicly shaming them, although I'm generally against publicly shaming. Like somebody's man-spreading on the bus or somebody's doing this, and then somebody will take kind of a creepy shot of them without them knowing it and then post it to Twitter and say, look at this jerk. I don't go in for that personally. However, I don't mind the idea that somebody is walking around thinking, wow, that person took my picture while I was being super rude, and now I'm worried it's going to go on social media. I like that psychological aspect of it, although I've never actually done that. But I told you I was tempted the other day when a woman came into a waiting room and was talking really loudly on her phone as if the rest of us sitting there quietly weren't there. Now, you were starting to say that you're kind of the opposite, right? You will secretly take a photo?
Well, I'm more inclined to, I guess, you know, what this really comes down to is it's much more passive aggressive what I'm considering doing. Like yesterday Monday, technically I was in this coffee shop on Lopez Island here in the Northwest, and a guy was sitting in the coffee shop having a business meeting on his like Bluetooth headphones and super loud in this coffee shop. And I was subtly videotaping him so that I could have the option later of putting him on blast on the internet. But I didn't want him to know that I was videotaping him, because I wouldn't want to really, like, for as confrontational as I can be at times, I'm generally kind of, I think, a wuss in that I didn't want to, like, have it out with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make fun of him and shame him when I was a safe distance away from him. And what you're describing doing is the total opposite. It's actually in the moment, in a way, confronting them, but then not doing the follow-through. Which is the more morally dubious thing, which would be the posting of someone online. I mean, what you're doing is a better approach, which is to say, hey, I'm letting you know that I don't like your behavior, but I'm not going to put you on the internet without your permission. That's a better way to approach it than what I'm considering doing.
If it's better, I mean, it's only better by like...
Dude, bro, the bar is so low. Have you heard the show?
I mean, this
Do
is
you
so,
know us?
I mean, honestly, what I'm describing is still just snivelly... passive aggressive behavior. Like, I am so not proud of my
desire to do it. Welcoming a confrontation in a way, which I find so interesting.
Yet not just like, if I really have an issue with the way somebody's acting in public, then I should either just say, hey, I don't think the way you're acting in public is very nice to the rest of us or something, but instead just like to pretend to take a photo of somebody, or maybe actually take a photo of somebody just to make them nervous and maybe have them think, again, it's such a passive aggressive way to maybe make somebody realize, hey, maybe my behavior right now is affecting others. Like, that's how it works in my head. Like, the person is like, wow, maybe I was being oblivious to other people and I'm going to change my ways. Obviously, that's not going to happen. I'm just being a passive aggressive little twerp if I were to follow through in this thing of taking a photo of somebody, which I would like to reiterate, I've never done, just have been tempted to make people feel awkward. Until yesterday, because I was walking across the parking lot at the Whole Foods. I can kind of cut across this parking lot. It's really near my house. And I noticed that they're doing some sort of construction around there. You know, I think it's a condo thing. And so part of the parking lot, which is always full parking lot. It's always hard to find parking around Whole Foods, especially around this time of day, which was like kind of after work hours. And I noticed somebody in a kind of a nice car. I do have a photo, spoiler, and I looked at it closer today. I can't tell what kind of car it is. It's a Nissan something. It looks like a new black car. I don't know how fancy Nissans get, but it's, I don't know, fancier than my car. And there's an area where there's like some construction equipment around, like kind of big containers and stuff. So the construction work is taking up some parking spots, and this is a traditional parking spot type of situation in this parking lot, just white lines on black pavement, not at angles, nothing fancy. And anyway, I noticed this fancy car is parked kind of up near the construction equipment, but parked across three spots. Instead of sliding into one of these spots, this car is just parked parallel parked across three spots, and I have no idea why. And the parking lot is not overflowing at this point, but I just know that it does get full. And I'm just like, this is weird. And I thought it might be, it looks like it's maybe a new car. Maybe this person doesn't want anybody scratching their car by parking too close. And maybe thought, if I park in the back of this parking lot, I can just do this and it's not going to affect anybody. I passed that car heading into the grocery store. And then in the grocery store, while I'm shopping, I have all kinds of fantasies of throwing eggs at the car. Nothing I would ever actually do. These are just healthy fantasies, people. And I'm just like, that is just so rude. I can't believe somebody would do that. And then I get my stuff. I just have my one bag of groceries, and I'm now walking home. This is a short trip. Like, let's say it's 15 minutes later, and I'm walking home, and the car is still there.
Oh, you're
there.
Not even in a car.
No, I'm just walking. This is right across the street from me. No, it doesn't affect me in any way. It doesn't affect me in any way.
I mean, I'm not. Listen, I don't want to set the precedent on this show of us judging each other on these stories, because I would not come off well at all if that were the dynamic. But I guess I somehow assumed you were in a car and it was making it harder on you. This was just the idea of this happening.
Oh,
really,
Luke, I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm a real principled guy. I stand on principles, and this is why people have so much respect for me.
I mean, it's so rude. I can't believe it. It's so damn rude.
Yeah, no, this doesn't affect me in any way other than my sense of symmetry, because it's weird to see a car parked across three lines like that.
That is a non-aesthetic thing.
And then secondly, it just seemed like the ultimate of just like, I don't give an F about you. I want to either protect my car or park over here or whatever. But again, this isn't like a plumb position right near the doors. It's kind of in the back of the lot. I'm just feeling petty. Yeah. Anyway, so I pass this car going in. I'm thinking about it. I'm kind of getting mad about it for absolutely no good reason at all. I am definitely the villain of this story. But then I'm leaving the grocery store a few minutes later, and I see the car is still there. And I'm like, well, I'll just take a picture of it. And again, I promise you, my plan is not necessarily to – I don't know what my plan is, but I know – I'm even thinking to myself as I'm taking the photo, huh, it's funny. I was just talking to Luke today about kind of publicly shaming people and how I don't post this stuff online. And then I'm like, well, maybe I could blur it out and put it in that Reddit sub mildly infuriating, where you can post things that kind of you see out in the world that drive you crazy. But I was like, no, I probably won't do that. But anyway, I'm just taking the photo. And I'm looking at it through my phone. I'm looking at the scene through my phone so that I don't even realize that by the time I've taken the photo, the car's owner is standing next to it right now. And I have the perfect photo of the a-hole standing next to his car. I mean, he's exactly what you'd think, too. Just like, you know, just like, I don't know. Well, I don't know why I have to describe him. He just seemed like, you know, well-off guy who's shopping at Whole Foods or whatever. And so... I take one photo, and then I put the phone down, and I realize, oh, I just took a photo of him. He's staring right at me. Now, I'm wearing my big headphones, my big Bluetooth headphones that cover my ears, and I see he's saying something to me, and so I flip off one earphone, and I say, I'm sorry. He says, why are you taking a picture of my car? And I'm just walking at this point. I walk by him, and I just keep walking, and I just go, he said, did you just take a photo of my car? I'm like, yeah. He said, why? And I'm like, because I really like it. It looks like a really polite car, which is me trying to burn this guy. And at the time, I'm just like, you are one cool customer, Walsh. I was so proud of myself. The amount of self-pride I had. By the way, this totally came around to I woke up this morning and rethought about this story. I'm totally ashamed of it for some reason. It's just so petty and so stupid. But I'm like, yeah, it looks like a really polite car. And then I keep walking and my headphones are off. Like they're not playing any sound, but they are on my head. So I keep walking and about 10, 15 seconds go by and then I hear him behind me again. So he might've been kind of running to catch up with me and I hear him yell, Hey, you know what? Another thing. And then I don't turn around because I'm wearing my headphones. As far as he knows, I'm listening to some sort of, I don't know, A-Team related badass music.
Probably.
In my headphones.
Sure.
Maybe you throw in a MacGyver a little bit to sweeten it. Anyway, so I'm like, he doesn't know I can hear him. I'm going to keep walking. If he comes up to me, then I guess we have a conversation we have to have, but I'll deal with that. And I didn't think he would. And he didn't. So I guess I don't have great power out for that. He yelled after me. I ignored him. I kept walking.
And another thing, and then what'd he say after that?
He never completed it because he didn't think I could hear him. And I didn't feel like getting into it. Again, I was kind of proud of myself. I was like, I did sort of accidentally do exactly what I've always wanted to do in my most petty moments, which is this person now is feeling like really defensive and upset and is thinking like, now there's this photo that this guy took of me and like, what's he going to do with that? And it's going to, you know, he's going to publicly shame me. Of course, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to use it as a show pick today in case that was the next question. I'm really not using this thing. But I was delighted with the fact yesterday. I mean, I was walking on air on the way home because I was kind of like, I got to do exactly what I wanted. I passive aggressively got in his head, but then when he wanted to engage more, I just walked away. It didn't matter to me. Like he didn't ruin my day. I kind of won this hand. That's how I felt yesterday. I woke up this morning. I was just like, why do you do this? Why do I do this? Why do I get in these petty bullshit things, especially things that don't affect me at all? But It was related to what we were talking about yesterday.
I have so many questions.
Okay.
Was it or was it not the actor Richard Dean Anderson?
I got it. Can I look again at this photo?
Yeah,
I got
to
say,
send me a picture. I won't publish it, but I will be able to tell if it's Richard Dean Anderson.
Okay, I will send it to you. If I send this to you, though, just so you get a sense of
it,
I got to be able to trust you here. Oh, I'm looking at the photos you sent me of the Chad and Ballsy Daily Show, by the way. I have a lot of questions about that.
I went down a weird rabbit hole of basically Canadian radio morning shows in Canada in relatively small towns.
Oh, it's Canadian.
And
okay.
Because of somebody that we both know who we used to work with, who now is a program director in Canada. And so when I was looking at them on Twitter, it suggested a bunch of other people, and they're mostly people that work in radio in Canada. And so what seems to be the real theme in the kind of press photos, the publicity photos for a lot of these, you know, morning shows in Canada on certain stations is really that kind of like, we got two hosts and they might strangle each other, but it's going to be must listen to radio. Kind of like this thing that, like, I've gotten roped in this
so
a few
great.
Times where you're taking publicity photos and the photographer's whole goal is to get you into that pose where the two people or the hosts are looking at each other kind of. And I mean, I got it. This happened with me and Dave Ross, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It definitely happened to me when I worked at NPR, where you're supposed to be like, look, believe it or not, you wouldn't think NPR publicity photos would go here. But it's that classic, like, these two, you know. They don't agree on much, but man, it's going to be fascinating radio or whatever. Anyway, there's a lot of that going on.
Buckle up.
Wow.
So
okay.
Here's the thing. I sent you this photo. I want to say a few things about this photo because I'm really embarrassed
Please
about
do.
This story. This is the type of thing where I woke
Am I
up,
allowed to read the guy's license plate number on the air?
Yes, but rearrange the letters. make it like boggle it. Here's the deal. I want to make it very clear, and I think I have, that I'm not proud of myself. I think this is an embarrassing story for me. I am especially nervous sending you the photo because I feel like I might have exaggerated things. I'm trying to kind of talk about how I felt in the moment. Looking at that car, it's not really
yes.
that fancy of a car. He doesn't look like that well-to-do of a guy at all, in fact, not at all, re-looking at this. I think I'm describing how I was feeling in the moment, maybe, and now you can
yeah.
see the stark reality of how I see
listen.
The world and what is actually
I
happening.
Wanna, listen, I don't want to, like, I don't, how do I put this? I hear what you're saying, and I recognize where you're coming from, and the last thing I want to do is, like, say a bunch of stuff that's going to make it so that you don't want to share these stories with me and the listeners. But I will just say gently that this was not 100% the scene. It's not that you overstated the guy's possible privilege. I mean, he looks more or less like I thought he would look.
The Air Buds were really what kind of, I don't know, seemed perfect to me.
Yeah, he's wearing AirPods.
They're AirPods.
And he's wearing kind of like a workout shirt, but it's Under Armour, and it's like he could have just gotten done working out or be on his way to working out at presumably a nicer health club. So yeah, he's somebody like, you know, somebody that looks like things are going basically fine for them. For me, and again, the last thing I want to do is I don't want to make you feel embarrassed or shame or regret over this. I guess what I didn't realize is the area of the parking lot where this guy's car is also by a bunch of, like, I think
They're construction
like giant,
containers. Yeah, they're
exactly.
containers.
Well,
yeah.
Well, a couple of them are, and then one of them looks like it might be something you throw recycling into.
Oh, is one of them like, AM? I closed.
Well, one of them looks like it might be, I'm sorry, this is so specific, but this might shed some light on the story. Like, two of them are clearly like those kind of construction containers that are completely closed. One side of them locks and you put stuff in them. Like if it's a construction site and you want to have your tools or supplies in there and not have them stolen. The one at the end looks like it's a dumpster, like maybe for the construction site as well, where they're throwing refuse.
Like a
where
big
the guy's
dumpster
car
that's
is
taller
parked.
Than the man. So it's like a big – it might be a refuse thing,
yeah.
but it's not like it's something construction-y.
But it has – it's not sealed on top, and my guess is that this guy was throwing stuff in that dumpster. Now, this raises a whole bunch of other questions. I think it explains why his car is parked the way it's parked. But I don't know if he's authorized to be true, throwing stuff.
There's no, I'll tell you a couple of things. There's no way to tell if that thing is open on the top of it. You're assuming that it's an open top
container.
Oh, there
is. I'm driving there right after the show.
But
that's
I don't know. And also, like, I passed him, like, I now passed this scene twice. There was no, his trunk wasn't open. There was no, like, action.
Like an arsonist, like, returning to the scene of the fire. Like, you've gone back now to the parking lot to stare multiple times.
No, but, you know, I saw it when I walked into the grocery store. It was, there was nobody there. He wasn't unloading or loading anything. And then I came back, and again, no trunk open. There, it does not look, I mean, I'm not saying that it's impossible what you're saying is happening. There's no evidence of that being true, though. I mean, what I will stand by and throw myself under the bus for, though, is it's not really hurting anybody. He is parked, taking up three spaces, but he's in the back of a parking lot by this construction equipment, or, you know, whatever you want to call
right.
those bins.
Yeah, it's weird because it's kind of, it is at the very same moment, just based on looking at the picture. It's both a kind of a rude thing and also a kind of not really disturbing anyone else's, other than the theoretical disturbance. It's not really disturbing anyone else because it's a rainy day. There's not that many cars that I can see in the parking lot.
But there's only one aggressive thing. The parking lot was full. You got to trust me that there's nobody in those three spaces, and then there's one space in front of him that nobody's parked in. Because if you were to park in that spot, he wouldn't be able to get out. Right, because he's kind of parallel parked inside there. But I will say the rest of the parking was full. I mean, it's a relatively small lot at Whole Foods.
Well, it's a very non-aesthetic thing, him parked at that angle on those spaces. But I'm really curious about what else was going on there. And I really just want I may never feel at peace in the world until I know what he was going to finish that sentence with.
I know.
And another thing... That and another thing is like that's the key to this whole.
What I think he actually said was, and you know what? I don't think he said and another thing. I think he said and you know what? But it still gave me that vibe. And I'll bet you, like, I don't know that I totally agree with your, like, he was dumping garbage or whatever. But there is a chance
I want you to know that's. I'm not saying I wasn't there. I'm not saying unequivocally that's what was going on. I'm just saying that might be a possibility, which doesn't get him off the hook because he may not actually be allowed to throw stuff in there. And maybe that's why he was so suspicious about the photo taking.
Maybe. I mean, I kind of don't – again, I did pass the car. There was nobody in it. It was a lone car sitting there in this parking lot when I was passing it. So I don't think that it had anything to do with unloading garbage, at least not during the time I was there. Having said that – he still might have had a totally good reason to, or certainly, like, he might not have had anything to do with Whole Foods. Like, he might be some sort of a supervisor who was swinging by the whatever this construction is and wanted to run in quickly and see what was going on and park that way because he saw this more as a construction lot right now than a Whole Foods parking lot. I mean, I actually think that there is as defensive as I'm sounding right now, I actually think there's probably a very decent chance that if he didn't have a totally good excuse, there was a reason why it's not as bad as just saying, hey, I saw somebody parked and taking up three spots in a Whole Foods parking lot.
Right. There might be a little more to the story. Mm-hmm. Well, my question is, and again, I'm the person who once yelled in a parking lot to someone, you bleed for me.
Oh, right.
So, and also, that's why I'm leaving in an Audi before then leaving in a Volkswagen that was being driven by my girlfriend at the time. So, like, again, I'm not going to weigh in on what the right thing to sort of yell or say to somebody is, but I'm wondering, do you think he understood when you said it's a very polite car? Do you think that he understood what you were getting at?
If I had to guess, I would say probably not at first, but then in the 10 seconds between me saying that and then him yelling after me, everything probably clicked into place and he maybe realized, oh, this asshole thinks that I was taking up tons of parking, or, you know what I mean? Like, he probably had a realization of what my deal was, and then that's why he wanted to take it up with me again.
Right.
That's my guess. And again, I'm probably, and I'm definitely, I mean, this is definitely an embarrassing story, and I'm definitely in the wrong here, but I will be honest with you. God, I felt so great yesterday. It reminded me of I'm just being straightforward with you. Like, I got a weird rush.
I appreciate that.
I came home. I recorded the After These Messages with Genevieve. And then after the show, I was editing the show. I was taking some time with it yesterday. And for a second, you ever get that – you get some sort of a feeling – and it's kind of happens in the background, and they're like, hey, what was that feeling I just had? And you try to identify it. And I realized I had this jolt of adrenaline go through me that was reminiscent of when I was on Facebook. And maybe I would post something on Facebook, and then I'd want to go back and see if it got a bunch of likes or something like that.
Yeah.
That dopamine feel, or that dopamine feel that you get even just expecting to log on and seeing a bunch of thumbs up or whatever. I remember I was sitting here editing and I got this weird feeling like that, this jolt of something. And I was like, wait, what was that feeling? And it was like, wait, am I supposed to be checking something online? And like all thinking this in a split second, then being like, oh no, it was that guy. He thinks I'm going to post a picture of him. I was like so self-satisfied with myself. And like I got excited thinking about the fact that this guy thinks that, you know, that he's driving home angry somewhere right now because he got caught being a jerk, but the person who took the photo doesn't fully understand. I don't know. All of this is to say I think I'm probably a psychopath.
No, you're not a psychopath at all. And I get that. I often have the opposite experience of going, wait, why am I sad right now? Mm. Wait, what am I bummed out about again? Mm-hmm. You ever have that one?
Yeah.
Where you like, you forget the specific reason why you feel doom,
mm-hmm.
but you're just like doing something. You're like, wait, I feel dread right now. What is it? Oh, yeah. Right. It's that I just got that email from – I just got a voicemail from someone at APM, which I did. I don't know who it was. It's probably nothing bad, but it's like a call came in from the 651 while we were doing the show, and I was like, oh, what's that about? Like, so usually for me, it's not like I feel good. I mean, I feel good a lot of the time. My point isn't that I don't feel good, but usually I have it in the opposite direction.
Yes.
Of like, wait, why do I feel bad again?
Yeah.
Which then sometimes I have to tell myself, if you forgot why you were feeling sad or having an ominous feeling, maybe that's a good sign that it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we do weird things. I mean, that we're I was going to say we're getting far afield here, but I don't know what field we're supposed to be in, so what the hell? I mean, that is something that you go through during real times of, let's say, grief or sorrow as well, right? Like those moments in your life when something really bad has happened, you've lost somebody
oh, sure.
or something, and then eventually your body and brain and everything are trying to normalize again, and then you might have a few moments where you're out of your own head and you're just enjoying a moment, and then you almost feel bad that you don't remember why you're sad, and you kind of your body
sure.
your brain pulls you back into that panicky sad possibly desperate feeling.
Yeah, that's very much a real thing. I'm just saying, like, sometimes like the smallest thing can give me a sense of dread,
mm-hmm.
and usually it's not a big deal. It will literally be like somebody from LiveWire emailed me and said, can we have a meeting on Thursday? It's like the meeting is 2 days away.
Right.
And it just gave me – I just don't like to have meetings because I don't know why, because like who likes meetings? And so my brain will file that away as under, ugh, bad feeling. And then I'll just be like doing something and I'll be like, ugh, bad feeling. Wait, why do I – then I'll go check my email, be like, oh yeah, that meeting I have to have. Bad feeling.
Yeah.
But like if it's that low level for me that I can't – that I have to go recheck my email to remember why I'm feeling sad – or feeling, I guess, dread. In those cases, maybe I can, I don't know, overcome it. Should we? Should now? I'm wondering.
you're struggling over.
Well, here. I'm wondering how much we want to really get into the top stories here. I'm also wondering if you're. Oh, you know, at the very least, though, we need to thank our donors of the day. Whether or not we actually do the top story today, could you? Do me a kindness, Tony. And, oh, you know what? Actually, sorry, I got it up here. I found it.
That's kind of a remix. We got to hear the intro twice.
Thank you, baby.
This is called Thank You, Baby Cleaner in my Apple iTunes, whatever you call it. But it's almost like if you had an infant who you hired as a maid, they'd be a baby cleaner. And I guess if you appreciated their work, you would say, thank you, baby cleaner.
That would be an amazing way. If you're like an au pair, like that'd be an amazing way to brand yourself. What are you? I'm a baby cleaner.
Yeah. You got a baby? I'll clean it. let's all thank your baby these donors of this. Let's thank Adam Barron of Maple Valley, Washington. Kathleen Manley of Seattle, Washington. By the way, these are folks who donate to TBTL. They make the show possible. Doug Rademacher of St. Louis, Missouri. Nicholas Scavlum of Chicago, Illinois. Emily Yosioko of Colchester, Vermont. And Teresa True of Seattle, Washington. This is a pretty good layout. And I hope I got those names right. Teresa, Emily, Nicholas, Doug, Kathleen, and Adam, thank you so much for making TBTL possible. Your donations are how we're able to do the show. If you caught yesterday's program, you heard me talking about a momentary crisis I had, which continued into our pre-show conversation today, Andrew, about how it's miraculous that the show exists and miraculous that people like Adam, Kathleen, Doug, Nicholas, Emily, and Teresa donate, and how we both are like, will we be able to keep doing this show for our job? It's we serve at the pleasure of and at the generosity of the listeners of this show. And every year when we do a TBTL-a-thon and the listeners once again support the show, I am moderately amazed.
Mm-hmm. I'm so, more than moderately amazed, certainly.
extremely amazed. So thanks so much for donating to the show, everybody, and specifically today, Adam, Kathleen, Doug, Nicholas, Emily, and Teresa. Thank you, babies, for making the show possible.
Thank you, baby.
All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now, but have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
I'm conflicted about this topic because I know that you don't like the show getting too gross, and it's going to be difficult to talk about this story without things potentially straying into gross territory. The gist of it is this article in Glamour magazine points out that our body, our colon, actually goes to sleep when we go to sleep, and mostly shuts down and is like, okay, you know, we're off for a while, and then when you wake up, your colon starts going, okay, like there's going to be some more food coming this way pretty soon, so we better start clearing things out. And the combination of that and drinking coffee, which I guess kind of activates, I mean, most people know that you have a cup of coffee, you can get things moving, as they say. I was surprised reading this article at how kind of smart our colons are. Mm-hmm. And then also that you can apparently train yourself to go to the bathroom. If your natural schedule, let's say, is to go to the bathroom at a time that's inconvenient for whatever reason, you can train yourself, your body, to start feeling like it needs to go to the bathroom at a different time. And the example they use is maybe doing it at work. And I thought, yeah, I've had so many jobs. This is the part where I don't want it to get gross, but I've had so many jobs where there's a really prime time to use the bathroom at the particular job, which is usually a time when no one else is trying to use the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we worked at Cairo, I had a ritual. I would use the downstairs bathroom that you could lock because it also contained a shower. Like, that's why you could lock it, because it was a long bathroom and the end of it was a shower. And some employees, in fact, some employees who hosted midday shows on the station would come in there after they would work out. but I think they would get mad because they'd be all sweaty after their workout, and someone would be in this giant bathroom facility with the door locked so they could use it for going number two. And that somebody was me.
Hmm.
And it made those people mad. Made me happy.
Yeah. I didn't use that particular bathroom in Cairo, but there was...
I'd like to grow a pair sometime.
There was a downstairs bathroom. There's three floors at Cairo Radio. There's the upstairs where all the salespeople and executives are. I went up there once. It really scared me, and I never went up there again. And then there's the main floor where...
That one sometimes, too.
Did you? I don't even know where it is up there.
Oh, yeah.
I was always scared that Carl Gardner or Mike Pridemore
would
look me in the eye.
I would use it at night. When we were doing the radio show at night, but there's still a certain amount of activity on the main floor and maybe even a little janitorial activity on the ground, like the basement.
Yeah, that's
the
sweet.
Upstairs, believe me, peace and love, but those salespeople, they were sliding down the back of that dinosaur at about 4:40 at the latest.
So like a colon going to sleep for the night. That's what I pictured.
Exactly.
It's like, toot, toot, all right, we're done. Let's get this weekend started. Colons.
Exactly.
Anyway, there was one in the bottom floor. There's like a basement level too. And there was a very seldomly used bathroom down there that was, you know, it wasn't a private bathroom. It was like two stalls, a urinal, and a sink. But recently at Cairo, they're doing all of these upgrades to the bathrooms there, Luke. And so the past, like when I was filling in over the course of 4 weeks over the holiday, the main floor bathroom in the newsroom was totally closed because for renovations. And
good. You'd
have to go downstairs. But these renovations are terrible. The bathroom downstairs used to be pretty no frills, but fine. And now it's like somebody sold them some sort of a package like, hey, this is what your bathroom will look like. Your professional bathroom will look like when you're done with it. And it's been replaced. Like, you know, they replaced everything. The sinks, the toilets, the urinals, they're all like a little bit more modern. And they look at first glance like everything is a little bit nicer. But it is terrible. The floor they picked, instead of being whatever, probably generic, probably quasi ugly 80s looking tile floor they had before, is now like what would appear to be nicer kind of slate gray large tiles, which are fine, except they are completely unforgiving around the urinal, which is some sort of weird modern urinal that either has some sort of I don't think the hardware itself has an issue, but people are having some major issues getting it to contain everything that it's supposed to be containing, whether it's splash or whatever. So underneath the urinal now, on this gray floor, is this puddle that is slightly dripping into the other parts of the bathroom. The whole thing, it kind of has
We avoided getting gross on this segment. So
This is the new fancy bathroom, which they're probably doing to the upstairs bathroom, which I know had its issues, but I just have never seen somebody take something that was maybe a little old-fashioned, but we're going to spruce it up and make it nicer. And it is terrible now. It has a stink in there that will not go away. I don't know if it has to do with the combination of what happens in bathrooms and like this new plasticky construction smell, but there's no ventilation. The stalls have the same issues they did before. All they did was make this thing so much worse. And you know, how much money does it cost to renovate a corporate bathroom? It's probably, you know, not completely a rounding error.
No, probably there's probably ADA implications and other things that have to be factored in. I'm sure it's like there are a lot of rules around, you know, the restrooms that you put in at a workplace where 100 or more people work. But that that sounds terrible. Is it one of those what they call waterless? Now, this is the male listeners in our audience will identify with this, but there's a certain kind of urinal now that's called like flushless or waterless, and it's made by some company. I want to say it's called like Falcon or something. They always have a bird. Like a bird emblem, and they always have some writing about how like this is a flushless toilet and it's like futuristic technology. And I'm always looking at it, or a urinal rather, and I'm always looking. I'm going, what's the technology around this? It's just a urinal that has no water.
I always
in
think
it,
the
just
same
kind of
thing.
Like a bad idea to me.
Yeah, I always think the same thing. I'm like, what? You put a little cap on the drain and that's it. It's waterless. But no, this is not
that
one.
Is that is that the breakthrough?
No,
like
this
I know why places like it because it uses less water. So, and if you're a business and you have shoddy plumbing, it's better to just put this thing in because you have less to deal with. But I have to say, I enjoy the sensation of flushing a urinal after I'm done there. It feels like cleaner and nicer to me.
Yeah, this is not one of those, but it is like, it's just, it just reminds me of, like, I'm sure that this stuff is not the most expensive on the market, but it's like, it's this, all the stuff they put in here seems like cheap, but supposed to look fancy. And so this urinal is kind of like, it's not in its usual shape. It's more like kind of arty and bowl shaped almost, but like clearly it's all artifice because it's not doing its most basic job, which is keeping grossness off the floor and then dripping down into the, it's just, it is a nightmare in there. And because the other bathroom is under repair during this time, I of course had no privacy down there at all, because, you know, people were just coming and going like crazy. So I guess what I'm saying here is nothing gold can stay.
Indeed. I was just happy to hear that they were remodeling the main floor one, because I always found the stall itself to be problematic, because there was a huge gap. So there was a toilet that you could sit on, which you couldn't pay me enough to use that toilet because it's where we all worked. And there was a huge gap in the door, so that if you were sitting on that toilet, if one were sitting on that toilet, first of all, if you walk into the bathroom, you could just basically see the person. And then also, if you were to use the urinal, that person who's sitting was positioned such that they would just stare directly at your private area as you were trying to use the urinal, none of which was a great situation. So to me, they needed to improve that bathroom. Sorry to jump to a different part of this topic, but I just decided to do a little research on what this waterless urinal is all about. It's worse than I thought. Do you know what the point of this thing is?
I always assumed it was to be more eco-friendly.
Well, I mean, I guess they try to make that argument, and they might not be wrong about that, but it doesn't flush.
Yeah, so it's a flushless toilet. We're just saying that, right?
I guess I never put that part together, that it literally wasn't draining out, like that it didn't go to a pipe.
Okay, I thought it didn't flush as in I can make water flush down it, but I always assumed that it was going into this pipe that then takes it away into the sewage.
No, it does not go out of the urinal. Approximately 1,500 sanitary uses are possible with just one 3 ounces of this particular company's product, Blue Seal liquid. When it's gone, it is replenished. It only takes about 20 seconds to perform, and the eco trap is not touched. Urine sediments are retained. Replacement is easy and only needs to be done 2 to 4 times per year, depending on traffic in the urinal. A tool called the extractor must be used to remove the eco trap. Yada yada yada. The idea, if I'm reading this right, is, I think, I could be wrong about this, I get the sense that this may not actually drain out. Like, you might have to send someone in to drain it maybe or something.
If that's the case, I just don't understand. How are we going, I mean, aside from the, I mean, I guess the eco-friendliness of it, like, how are we going backwards with our plumbing technology? I mean, we don't want to go back to the days of having to take buckets of sewage and pouring them out the windows, right? Like, I thought that the whole point of plumbing was that we didn't have to do that anymore.
Our water, the upkeep of traditional flush urinals can be – this is really the show today, you guys. Wow. Hi, everyone. Hi, new listeners. This is what we do. Our urinals save more than just water. They save time and money. The upkeep of traditional flush urinals can be expensive, and maintenance – by the way, highly relevant again to our female listeners who do not use urinals typically. The maintenance in certain instances can take hours. Our waterless fixtures eliminate the need for flush valve repairs, waste line cleanouts, deodorizers, and blockage removals. I can't quite figure out if this thing is still going into the wall and actually draining, or if the idea is that you can put this anywhere because someone comes in and maybe it's just that without all the water running and the flushing, there's just less that can break. I don't know. I don't want to speculate on this matter. I just want to say I'm sorry that the remodels at the Cairo bathroom have not been going well. I also want to tell people that Dr. Ashkan Farhadi of Orange Coast Memorial Medical Center, who cited in this article about training your dragon on when to go, he says, here's what you do. You find a time in your day that you know you'll always be free to hit the bathroom. And then you start going to the bathroom and you sit on the toilet for a few minutes at the same time every day. Don't do anything. Don't force it. Don't push it, says Dr. Farhadi. Your goal at first is not to have a bowel movement. It's to condition your colon. Isn't that the journey of life, Andrew, really? I mean, that's what we're trying to do in this world, condition our colons.
This is freaking fascinating. I know that I'm the one that you said I don't like to make things gross, which is true. But I was waiting to come back to this. Like, well, how does one train one's colon when one's colon is not on coffee break? And apparently, you just go like teaching a cat how to use the litter box. You just yes. plop yourself on the toilet and just read for a while.
Our bodies are pretty suggestible, I think. This, I don't want to extrapolate too broadly. Also, by the way, I have to go in 4 minutes because I have a very important phone call related to some upcoming TBTL doings, Andrew, which is going to be exciting when we can share this with the listeners. But I do actually, and this is like a conference call with like big fancy people who are kind of potentially partnering with us, and so I want to like make a good impression, i.e. not call into the conference call 10 minutes late.
Yeah.
So that's maybe this is a good time to just sort of wrap that up. And in fact, maybe even just hold emails and emails over till tomorrow so we can get out of here at the proper time. Any thoughts on a show title? Any thoughts on music to go out with?
You know, I don't have a show title. Did you write anything?
How to Train Your Dragon?
But that's not really like a pun. It doesn't really do, it's not a play on words, right? Unless I'm missing something.
Well, no, it's a play on let's see here. I mean, we know the show pick. It's this guy standing behind his car.
Yeah. I mean, with an inset of a close up of his face and then another inset with a close up of the license plate.
Perfect.
Right?
God, this might be one of those shows where we didn't say anything funny that could be used as a show title.
Might be
and that
the
rarely
case.
Happens.
That's okay. I can figure that out. You know, there's a song called Flush, but it's on that Parquet Courts project that you were not into, and I don't know if it's appropriate or not. Should we roll the dice on Flush, or do you have another song that
let's try to assert our what's left of our coolness by playing Parquet Courts. I know that although, you know, to be honest with you, probably their coolness has come and gone, who knows, but anyway, yeah, this is like a relatively hip band, so let's give it a shot.
And this one might be not suitable for everybody. I'm not sure. This has got a Karen O on it, so it might have adult themes.
All right. Well, we'll all find out together. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for being a part of TBTL. We're going to be right back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio for you. So do tune in for that. Until then, go Mariners. Hey, go Edgar Martinez.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Go Browns. Go Seahawks. Go eat a bagel. It's not the waterless urinal. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all. It's a light bat.
It's a light bat.
Better look. Oh, won't you cast the hook into the waves? Oh, the waves. Above my brain goes flush down the drain. I cannot change. And now I start again.
Power out.